Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, most people know about W.B. Yeats and Jack B. Yeats, but there were a couple of sisters in there as well, Lily and Elizabeth, both creative and accomplished women in their own right. Lindsay McDougall from the from Ulster University will be giving a talk about the sisters tomorrow at the Yeats Sisters Symposium, which takes place in Taney Parish Centre in Dundrum in Dublin. Afternoon, Lindsay.
Good afternoon.
I suppose you could start by telling us a bit about Dún Emer that they set up.
Yes, the Dún Emer Guild. Well, it was set up in 1903 by Evelyn Gleeson and the Yeats sisters, so Elizabeth and Lily Yeats.
Yeah, and what happened there? What?
Well, it was what I would call or describe, and many before me have, as an arts and crafts sort of studio culture that was set up. And what they did was they had different workshops. So Evelyn run the carpet and weaving workshop, and then there was a printing press, and that was Elizabeth that was running that. And then Lily, who's my particular sort of area of expertise, was running the embroidery department.
Okay. And was this to make money, or what was the idea?
It was certainly to make money, enough money. I mean, it was I would describe it now, I suppose, in a historical perspective, we would maybe say that it was sort of like a social enterprise of the time. So certainly in line with the arts and crafts ethos, it was very much about really good craftsmanship, quality local materials, so materials as much as they could from Ireland, and then employing local people it was situated in the Dundrum area. So they employed local women. So it was run by women, and it was really very much about the community as well.
Okay, so there was an ideology underpinning it as well.
There certainly was, and it was definitely borrowed from the arts and crafts, and then obviously there's involvement there with the Celtic Revival movement as well. So yeah, there was a lot going on, and I think it's really interesting to look at it historically and go, wow, this is in 1903 and it's run by women in a time when women really didn't have that much or the same kind of freedom as we do now. You know, there was definitely political, social, economic constraints put upon these women, but they found that they set up the Dún Emer really, I believe, to kind of have a place where they could really thrive, have economic stability, but also to serve their community and help the women, the other women who weren't maybe as well off as them.
Mm. And did Lily and Elizabeth both train in various arts and crafts disciplines separately or together?
They trained here in Dublin, but they also trained in England. And Elizabeth was a teacher at one point, and she also is quite famous for her a book called Brushwork, which I hope that's the right title. But it was like a watercolour book. It's a very, very beautiful book if you can get a chance to look at it. And also Lily trained under May Morris, so at Morris & Co. So she trained there. And so she trained in the embroidery department. So she was seeing, she probably got quite a good idea of, wow, we could bring this back to Dublin. Mm. Just that's in London. She's thinking, right, we can bring this back to Dublin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then did they leave Dún Emer and set up something else?
They did. There was a little bit of a fallout, which many scholars have written about and kind of focused on, because I suppose we all love a sort of fallout story, right?
Scandal, yeah.
Yeah, scandal. So at the time, it's a bit of a scandal. I think it was in 1908 they left Dún Emer, so they parted ways and they set up Coola Industries. So at that point, they set up a very similar sort of structure, and definitely had learnt a lot from Evelyn Gleeson as well at that point, and brought it all over to Coola. So they both existed at the same time for a while in the similar area.
Okay. And as concerns, how long did each one last for?
Oh, goodness. Right. Well, I did write this down early because I thought you were going to ask that. So Dún Emer Guild, I actually don't know that. Lasted, I think, until the 40s, and Coola Industries lasted to 1946, but then it was reinvigorated in the 80s, I think, as well. So there's not a clear, you know, this is when it stopped for me personally as a historian, but yes, we're all kind of excited to look back, and I think that it's becoming, people are talking about it a lot more.
Yeah. And did the sisters remain involved with Coola Industries all the time?
They did until their death.
Yeah.
So they certainly were very proud of it. Mm. And I think if you're interested in learning a little bit more about their biographies and learning about Coola, there's couple of books. There's one by Joan Hardwick, which is really, really good. Mm. And there's another one by Clifford. I can't remember the first name, but yeah, so that's there's two really good books if you want to know more.
Did they have much of a relationship with the brothers, or is it known what that was like?
Yes. I mean, I think sibling, you know, relationships are always a little bit tense, aren't they? Especially in Ireland, I find. But they were good. And Jack Butler Yeats, actually. So one of my specialism is, as I said, the embroidery department, so yeah, looking at Lily, but also looking at the Loughrea Cathedral Banner Project, which some of your listeners might be aware of. It's in Clint Galway, and Lily made 29 of these amazing banners of saints. But there's a good story connected to one of them where, well, Jack Butler Yeats actually designed most of the male figures, the saints.
Oh.
So they certainly had, Lily and him seemed to have a really good, pretty good relationship. But their older brother, William, seems to have at one point sort of met the priest that was head of the banner project, and they were having a discussion, and they decided that St. Patrick was very irreverent. So he actually got a friend of his in England called Eric McLagan to redesign St. Patrick and sent it to Lily. Joan Hardwick writes about this. So she can evidence in her fantastic book. But he writes to, and he sends this design to Lily, and she gets it but very politely declines and doesn't use it, which, okay, I think at that stage in the early 20th century is a real sign of bravery, actually.
Yeah.
As a woman saying, no, my creative direction is where,
yeah,
I am.
And the fact that we don't know more about them, or their names aren't as well known, or even nearly as well known, or perhaps people didn't even know that W.B. Yeats and Jack B. Yeats had sisters. Is that just because they were women? Was there something else?
No, it's just because they were women, honestly. And I think that's something that's really frustrating for me. But about 10 years ago, I discovered Lily Yeats in a book about Mae Morris. And I was absolutely raging that I didn't already know about her. I had trained as an embroiderer. And I had been studying this for a long time. And partly, obviously, I hadn't searched deep enough, but also just it's not in the mainstream. So I think part of the symposium, and certainly part of my research personally, is to try and just elevate the conversation and just bring them to the forefront, because I think they're just as interesting as their brothers, and definitely just as talented.
Okay, well, you can hear more of that elevated conversation tomorrow night at Taney Parish Centre in Dundrub in Dublin. What time does it start at?
It starts at, I think registration is 9:15.
9:15 in the morning?
In the morning.
Yes, okay. Or is that me?
Yeah.
The post-pub trade. Lindsay McDougall is an art history lecturer at Ulster University. Lindsay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.